Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Greece, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Mike Brown. How are you, Mike?
Great. Ready for the holiday season. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you, Robert.
My pleasure. And Mike is the president and CEO of Travel and Leisure. This is about a $3 billion-plus organization with over 17,000 employees and really known as the world's leader in membership leisure travel company. So talk about what the organization is and maybe tee in a little bit of your roots from Wyndham.
Absolutely. Why don't I start with our history? For the longest time, we were the world's largest timeshare company known as Wyndham Vacation Ownership. And like many in our space, Marriott in 2011, Hilton in 2016, we each separated from our sister hotel company to become a standalone timeshare company to really provide transparency to Wall Street and allow them to invest in a specific industry with a specific corporate profile. Since we became public in 2018, we've continued to grow and grow throughout the COVID period. And in early 2021, we made a strategic decision to go out and purchase Travel and Leisure, the magazine, along with its IP and its existing businesses. And we rebranded our company as Travel and Leisure Co., still operating Wyndham Destinations in the timeshare space, along with our exchange business called RCI. And we've been able to launch two other new travel products as well since that time. All in all, we're 100% leisure travel company. As you mentioned, our market cap is over $3 billion. We do over $3 billion of revenue and a little over $850 million of EBITDA on an annual basis.
And how do you integrate the magazine with the business?
The strategic rationale that we had for purchasing Travel and Leisure was very simple. The name Travel and Leisure, the magazine, was all about inspiring people to travel, but there was never an activation to it. So our thought was, let's buy the Travel and Leisure name and the magazine. We will become the activator. They will still create the inspiration. So what we ended up doing when we purchased the magazine is we actually licensed it back to Meredith at the time, now with Dot Dash. They continue on an editorially independent basis to produce the Travel and Leisure magazine, and we activate that inspiration in our travel businesses. So they remain objective and independent, and they, under the Dot Dash name, really are out there creating great content and, as I mentioned, inspiration for travel.
You know, I want to tell you, my background prior to 15 years ago when I started this was strategy, and I think it's a perfect strategy how you executed all that, and the results have really spoken for themselves.
They really have, and you know, if you speak really specifically to the strategy, we were a single brand timeshare company, which meant your opportunity to grow in a 100 million household addressable market for leisure travel was limited to one brand in one space. The rebranding of travel of our company to Travel and Leisure simply creates doors of opportunity for us across the entire leisure landscaping. Within timeshare, we can grow Wyndham continuously, but we can also add new brands without the brand conflict of a hospitality brand. Everyone loves Travel and Leisure. It's probably leisure travel's biggest public relations firm, even though it's a magazine, because they inspire people to travel. It's also opened up businesses outside of timeshare, and that's that extra timeshare is about a 10 million household market. That other 90 million households in the United States, they're traveling, and we have the expertise and the skill set to get those people on vacation. So that name change was all about creating doors of opportunity outside of our core business, which remains strong, but who doesn't want to grow their growth rate?
Absolutely. And it just turns out two perfect words, travel and leisure. Now let's talk about timeshare. And there's a lot of misunderstanding, and I want to talk about the whole reputation. What's your take on reputation, how it ties in, what people don't know about timeshare industry, and how its relevance is right now today in 2023 going ahead?
Well, this space has probably undergone one of the most massive transformations of any industry over the last 15 years. The Great Financial Crisis fundamentally changed the industry. Before the Great Financial Crisis, a lot of unbranded, independent companies selling a single site. And if you were to ask most of your audience, you would say, what's a timeshare? I go to the same place in the same unit every single week of the year. Well, when the Great Financial Crisis happened, the brands really began to consolidate the industry. So let me give you five names. Holiday Inn, Wyndham, Hilton, Marriott, and Disney now are responsible for roughly 80% of the entire industry. Before the financial crisis, that number was about 30%. So now you have these big brands coming in, providing a balance sheet that supports the development of projects, reputation that is paramount in customer service, but maybe most importantly, it's about flexibility. All of us have created a currency of points so that if you buy a timeshare, you might go for a three-bedroom in Orlando for a family reunion for 5 days, and then the next weekend, you and your spouse say, we want to get away in Las Vegas, but we don't need a three-bedroom, we want a studio. It's all about flexibility, and if for any reason you don't want to use one of Wyndham's 250 resorts, you can use that currency to go to any one of the hotels around the world. So the evolution has been incredibly dramatic. It's really favored brands. And I like to say this, if you went to a Wyndham hotel tomorrow and checked in and they said, we're going to upgrade you to a two-bedroom unit with your own kitchen, two bedrooms and a fireplace, you would take it every single time. And that's basically what timeshare is under the branded names. In this particular time, with inflation ramping to record levels, people are seeing the value more than ever. You've already paid for your ownership 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So when inflation's going up 7%, our owner's price of their vacation is static and set at yesterday's prices, 10 years ago prices. There's a saying, and I'll sort of end with this, that the hotel model is a great model because every night they get to reset their rates and pass it along to the consumer. Our feeling is every day that hotel rates increase, we get to pass along that value to consumers. And that's why we love where we are. We're in the front edge of the macro trends, and inflation actually isn't hurting us. It's a value creator in our industry.
We have CEO audience. Why should CEOs be interested in timeshares or travel and leisure and what you're doing?
The answer is pretty simple about why people should at least keep us on your radar. First of all, we're an advocate. The name Travel and Leisure is supportive of other travel companies. But we have found since the name changed to Travel and Leisure, we have a travel ecosystem. And we provide travel benefits, not just to travel companies, but we're approached by associations who want to provide something to their association or their employee base because they don't have a travel division. So just to give you an example, we're working with the National Association of Realtors. And as a benefit to their association of realtors, we've created a travel club for the National Association of Realtors. So maybe there's something that we can do for an employee base, an association. If nothing else, it's always good to talk to fellow CEOs.
So really, it is the ultimate in retention, I'm thinking. The ultimate. Think of what you're giving.
I think it's not just about retention, but it's about a broader ecosystem. If I use the example of the Association of Realtors, we give to them travel benefits. They travel, and within our ecosystem, they might want to market to our database. So it's about finding complementary partners that have a win-win relationship. And the bigger the ecosystem, the more opportunities people inside and outside the travel industry, the travel and leisure industry, have a chance to work together.
We are about to take a commercial break now. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the culture, about the value, and how this ties into CEOs specifically. Back in a few.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Mike Brown, who is the president and CEO of Travel and Leisure, which is about over a $3 billion organization, $3 billion market cap as well, 17,000 employees, and I believe you own 247 properties as well. Let's go into the whole concept of culture. You have this really interesting thing. One is customer obsession, which I want to hear from you on. But two, when you talk about your leadership philosophy, it's called decision velocity. How does that work, really?
Let's start with decision velocity. I've been in the corporate world and worked for great companies over my 25 years in the corporate world. And what you tend to find if you go around the hallways and really talk to people is there's always a decision to be made. There's always a meeting to go to. And there's this corporate inertia that just takes time. When you go around and ask your leadership, what's your biggest frustration is we're not communicating enough or we're not making decisions. And you get back to these entrepreneurial companies that make decisions with two people in the room and they live with, I'm going to be right 80% of the time, 90% of the time, but because of my skill set, that's good enough for the company to keep progress going forward. So we've really been intentional to try to get rid of this corporate largesse of we need to meet and I don't feel I have the empowerment and ownership to make a call and to have the comfort to be wrong sometimes because the greater good is progress. And we've really been intentional about getting the message out there of you're a director, you're a vice president, you're a senior vice president because you've earned the right to be there. But staying there means you have to deliver on your own accountability and you need to own the decisions. And if you own those decisions, you need to know that you're not going to lose your job by using your best judgment and showing good intuition. It's not running around recklessly, but it's being confident in yourself and the organization and owning the role you're in to make judgment calls and being able to stand by it. And what I found is there's a huge motivational uplift when people feel like they own it and they're not working against the corporate machine, that there's some them behind a curtain making a decision. And I'll be in meetings and people say to me, corporate won't allow me. And I say, we aren't making the decision, so let's make it now. And this idea of decision velocity is just about making good judgment calls, being afraid to be wrong on occasion, but when you're wrong, as one person said to me early in my career, it's not how far you fall, it's how high you bounce. And I think it's all about the bounce and making sure that you're bouncing quickly.
You know what's interesting? When you talk about leadership, that's part of the G of ESG, but I think you're extremely strong, really strong on both the E and the S. Talk about in ESG what specifically you're doing.
This is maybe one of the prouder moments that I have as a CEO inside the organization because, as we all know as fellow CEOs, there's a world around us trying to define what all of that is. And, you know, we all go home at night and we all want to be great citizens in our community and in the world we live in. And our people at Travel and Leisure know that they have avenues to do exactly that. And we're not doing it because someone's telling us to or we can get a check mark on a scorecard. Yes, we need to do that as a public company. But, you know, we launched a scholarship program recently in the oldest incorporated black community in America. And it's here in Orlando. There's no one telling us we have to do it, but it's a member of our community and it has a 34% poverty rate. So why wouldn't we do it? And I think there's a common misconception out there that you are either serving your shareholders or your stakeholders. And our culture here is you can do them both proudly, and they both, they elevate the other side of the equation when you're good at both. So, yes, we're very committed to the philanthropic side, to the diversity, equity, inclusion that we're in, because I really think that's who we are, not only as an organization, but candidly, it's the customers we serve on a daily basis, not only in the United States, but around the world.
So you're giving sort of a twist to what Wall Street sees ESG as.
I am. And one of the elements is there's this sort of constant definition, and there's a lot of people consulting and telling you what you need to do. And I sort of feel like you should act first, be a good community citizen. You should do what's good for the environment around you. We have resorts all over beaches in the world. Why wouldn't we care what the beach looks like? Why wouldn't we do beach cleanup? Why wouldn't we remove plastics from our resorts? Things like that. It's just common sense. And, you know, and we'll see where Wall Street ends, but, you know, you get penalized on your score for having tenured board members. And I'll be honest with you, a diverse board, not only racially or ethnically, is important, but you want very experienced board members that have a long tenure, along with new people to your board that are bringing fresh ideas. So I think you need to do what's right for your business, what's common sense, and not only what you want to do for a cause, so to speak, but because it's the right thing to do for your constituents, both inside the company and your consumers.
Very refreshing philosophy that you have. Are there any CEOs who specifically have inspired you? And talk about, if you were to codify the core of Mike Brown's leadership philosophy, what is that?
I've often said to my friends, I feel like I've had the all-star lineup of bosses throughout my career, from my first one when I was 22 out of school at Marriott, and people who said to me, you know, you need to go live internationally. I lived internationally for 10 years. Someone that said to me, you will always be a finance guy until you own your own P&L. So I would not say CEOs per se. I would say my bosses that were always leading me were inspirations. And I think back to my career, each has inspired me in their own way. And that continues today. Our chairman is the former CEO of Wyndham Worldwide. And I called him yesterday and I said, mentor me on this subject. I need your thoughts. And he's not only a great chairman, but he's a great mentor. And I'm proud to serve under his leadership. So, I feel like I'm a conglomeration of, or an aggregation of, everyone's talents that I've adopted onto my own. If I were to say what's my philosophy is, I think authenticity is a representation of today's leadership. You know, it used to be very hierarchical, and what the CEO said sort of went. Yes, to a certain degree, but people want authenticity, and they want to be part of something more than their job. Yes, most people come to work and they want a paycheck, but I think if you can give people the vision of where you're going, the culture that you're creating, they then have a choice to either get excited and participate or to say, this is not the right place for me. And I often say to people, my job is to tell you where we're going and what we stand for, and we may or may not be right for you. And whether you stay or go is not good or bad. It's just you spend most of your life in the workplace, so you should know where that company is going to take you and if you have real opportunities and agree with the culture.
Mike, if someone wants to be involved, what's the website they go to?
What you want to do is go to travelandleisureco.com. And if you're interested in learning more about the magazine, it's simply travelandleisure.com.
And what a pleasure it is having you on.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000. $50,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Stephanie Herzog. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm great, Robert. Thanks for having me.
And Stephanie is the CEO of Sodexo Energy North America. Talk about what that is, and I'll let you know in advance. Sodexo is one of the great companies. Years before, now you hear DEI, Sodexo was doing that. So just talk about what the organization and the organization you lead is.
Yeah, so Sodexo does facilities management services, which includes food, like your company cafeteria, as well as soft services and hard services. So janitorial, mailroom, move coordination would be soft services. Hard services would be electrical, HVAC, elevators, escalators, all the things around your facility that you don't really want to take care of, we will do for you. And in energy and resources, that means that we handle the traditional corporate office towers for our energy clients, but also chemical plants, refineries, offshore platforms, remote mining camps. So a real variance in types of facilities.
And that was really your background, was in energy, and you came into Sodexo. So what did you learn? What was it like when you came in?
Yeah, you know, I joined Sodexo 2 years ago. I've had 25 years in the energy services space. But I did not come from facilities management. And I will tell you, this business is all about people. We don't have tech, you know, we have some, but we don't have a lot of technology or fancy equipment that we can build to our clients. It's people. And so it's really the core of our business.
Yeah, and a lot of people, 470,000 actually globally, right? So let's talk about that. It's all about people. What have you seen in terms of how the workplace has been redefined over these past couple of years?
Well, specifically with COVID, right, that has certainly turned our world upside down. I mean, our front line are just heroes. I mean, every facility, we had to completely rethink everything we do. I mean, you think about the buffet in the cafeteria is now no longer nobody wants to share utensils or come and pull food out where someone else has been. But, you know, in the early stages of COVID, where we really didn't know how it was transmitting, you know, janitorial needs went through the roof, right? We had to be super thorough and just a whole nother level of cleanliness that our clients expected and needed. And where a lot of us had the luxury of working from home, my employees didn't, and a lot of the sites that we service didn't. So chemical plants and refineries continue to be operational. Mining camps and offshore platforms continue to be operational throughout the entire pandemic. So we really just had to adjust, work with our clients, listen to what they wanted. I mean, every geography was even a little different, right, depending on what was happening with COVID in different parts of the country or different parts of the world.
So, Stephanie, as you went through that, there are probably a lot of lessons you learned from management with no more buffets, everything changing, you're focusing on janitorial. How do you manage that whole workplace, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I think communication was absolutely the most important thing. And, you know, again, remember at the beginning, just trying to make sure we could source PPE for all of our sites and the hoops that we had to go through. So, you know, we had daily 7-day-a-week calls. I had calls with my region around, you know, again, supply chain, those sorts of things that were handled regionally. And then with my teams, making sure that they felt supported, that if they had emergency needs, that we were there to help them. I mean, it really was around communication and also with our clients. So making sure that our front line was having that sort of daily communication with the clients as well, with an ever-changing landscape.
So, Stephanie, when you look at your leadership philosophy, what were the discussions and what were the influences that really shaped that leadership philosophy?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Pasadena, Texas, on the southeast side of Houston, very industrial part of town. My father was an engineer. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. She'd been a teacher before she had me and then couldn't imagine anyone else taking care of me but her. But even growing up in that very traditional family, I was encouraged from a very young age that I could do anything. And so both my mother and father, you know, encouraged me to pursue engineering. They saw I liked math and science. They said, you can do anything you want. You can do anything you put your mind to. So some of the things I think that girls traditionally hear at a young age, I just didn't hear in my house. It was very much, you can do any of it. And I think that has stuck with me through growing as a leader. I try very hard to be a very empathetic leader. But I've also reflected on the bosses that I've had through my career and tried to emulate those. I've had some really wonderful, by the way, I've never had a female supervisor, so I've only had male role models to look to, but I have had some great male empathetic leaders in my life, and I have had some that were not so much. And so taking learnings from each of those stages in life and trying to emulate that.
It's really become, in today's world, a war for talent. You are known, since you're saying, people-oriented. What do you do to get the best talent? Are there any lessons that CEOs could learn?
Well, look, I don't think anybody feels like an expert in the war for talent right now. It's really challenging just trying to recruit talent. I think the other lens, so there's a Sodexo lens, but there's also an energy lens. And with the energy transition upon us, more than ever, we need the best and brightest people coming to our industry. And yet, you know, I had a young engineer ask me the other day, is energy the new tobacco industry? Like, should I really be considering going into that space at all? And so I think it is a real challenge for our industry. You mentioned Sodexo's focus on DEI. I do believe that in energy, we have historically not been very good at DEI. And so I think there is a lot of untapped talent for us out there that can help with that scenario. But in order to attract and retain that talent, we've got to create much more inclusive environments for people to come to work.
And when you talk about an inclusive environment, let's take two different elements there. Number one is we now have a five-generation workforce. So how do you deal with multi-generational? And the second part is generalist and specialist, because you've been in a business where it was strictly really specialist. Has that changed at all?
The millennials and the Gen Z that are coming up. I mean, look, when I graduated from college, I tell everybody I took the best job. The best job was defined as the one that paid the most. When I talk to kids coming out of college today, pay's on their list. You've got to pay fairly, but they're much more concerned about, do we have a purpose as a company? How will it be to work at this company? What will my work environment be like? And so I think as an industry, we've got to start preaching the message around our purpose. And get away from, you know, oil and gas is dirty and bad to, look, we need a lot of forms of energy to have affordable, accessible energy for the world. And we play a vital role in that transition and doing that responsibly. And so, you know, I try to encourage young people today, look, being inside, you'll be able to make more change than sitting outside. And so come join us and help with that. And so, like, I think, again, I think with the younger generation coming up, they just view their work differently. The second part of your question, remind me again, that was, oh, generalists and specialists. I think as with our clients, we tend to have multiple product lines. So we'll tend to do, for example, soft services and hard services. And while you're not going to take your HVAC repair guy and send him out to mop the floor, we do get some synergies around our management staff. And so you do need to have management teams that understand both businesses and can efficiently run both businesses. Food is a different element, right? And that's it's more of an artsy offering. And so it has a different criteria to it, but continuing to train our employee base where they can speak to all of those and manage all of them effectively helps us be more efficient.
And now probably the question most important, nearest and dearest to my heart is, being a woman, and advice, because there are way too few women CEOs. What have you learned in becoming a woman CEO, especially in an industry, you know, like energy that has been completely male dominated?
Yeah, you know, Robert, I like I said, I've been in energy services my entire career. Before coming to Sodexo, I was very used to being the only woman in the room, particularly when it came to operations. And so I kind of got used to it. It's been very refreshing to be at Sodexo, and I'm now rarely the only woman in the room. And it's not just gender diversity, but we have racial diversity. If you look at the picture of our regional leadership committee, I laugh. It looks like a Benetton ad, if any of you are old enough to remember the Benetton ads. But, you know, it's a beautiful picture, and it does create a much more inclusive place to work. My advice for women coming into the industry, there's usually a few pieces of advice that I give. One is raise your hand, make sure people know that you want to be promoted, that you can take on responsibility, more responsibility, put your name in the hat. So I'll tell you a story. I graduated from Harvard Business School. I was on the alumni board there.
We're about to take a commercial break, and when we come back, you are going to tell that story. And more so, we're going to hear Stephanie did something that no other CEO out of 1,000 I've interviewed has ever experienced. You'll find that out back in a few.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Stephanie Herzog, who is the CEO of Sodexo Energy North America. So you were going to tell a story about when you graduated.
Yeah, it was actually after I graduated. I was on the alumni board at Harvard Business School, and we were looking at the admittance data. And they showed us the percentage of male and female applicants that had been admitted to the school, and we accepted a higher percentage of the female applicants. And so one of the male board members raised his hand and said, are we lowering the bar so we can get more women in the class? And the admissions director, who is fantastic, responded without missing a beat, no, our average female applicant is more qualified than our average male applicant. And so, you know, what I see is that, and this is broad generalizations, but women, we tend to look at the list of requirements for a job or to get into business school. And if we don't meet every box, we don't put our name in the hat. And the, many of the men that, again, gross generalizations, but many of the men that have worked for me, you know, they meet two of the 10 boxes and they put their name in the hat. And so I think as women, we've got to be a bit more bold and put ourselves out there and make sure people know that we want that promotion. And so that kind of raise your hand, make yourself known is the first piece of advice that I give women. The second piece is really for anybody, but if you want to be, but I think women get, have a harder time sometimes getting that CEO spot. You really have to get P&L responsibility. You've got to have had profit and loss responsibility at some point in your career. And women often get pushed into support roles, and we perform, and so we move pretty high up in the company in strategy or sales or marketing or some of the other functions. But if you haven't gotten that P&L responsibility, it's really hard to get into the C-suite. And the longer you wait to do that, the harder it is to make that transition over, because people don't want to, they don't want to take the chance to give you that big of a P&L, for example. So, you know, I have a vice president that has wants to move into operations, but to give her a VP of operations role without having had some experience at the district manager role or the, even the general manager role is quite a step change. And so I encourage women to try to get that experience. And or if you get pushed into a support function, that could be a great developmental opportunity for you. Make sure you're having a conversation of how you make your way back. How you make your way back into the operational roles.
It's great advice. And that's what I've heard from the top CEOs is you have to have the P&L and you have to raise your hand, because if you don't, women will wait until they have 90%. And once they have 90%, it's almost like when they get the job, they're overqualified and they seem unmotivated. So they don't get the job. It's a double-edged sword. Everyone listening in, that's what you have to do. Raise your hand and also get P&L experience. Now I want to shift over to the personal side. And I mentioned that you've gone through a challenge that no CEO out of 1,000 I've interviewed has ever gone through. It was, the date was December 10th, 2017. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I suffered sudden cardiac death, which means that my heart got in an unusual rhythm, which caused me to collapse. So I technically died. Fortunately, my husband was home. He was in the next room, and he heard me go down. He didn't know what had happened, so he hollered out. When I didn't respond, he came in there and found me, and so immediately started CPR. I have two children. At the time, they were 11 and 6. And so the 11-year-old called 911. I went under CPR for somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes. I got the paddles multiple times. Nobody really can say how many. Was ambulatory transported to the hospital. Spent several days unconscious, and they were dark days for my family and my friends. They really didn't think I was going to make it. And if I did pull through, they were pretty certain that there would be some brain damage or, you know, who knows. But miracle of miracles, I came out of that. I spent a couple of weeks in the hospital and then some time recovering after I got home. When I first got home from the hospital, I couldn't go from, because I'd laid in bed for 2 weeks, I couldn't go from lying down to sitting up without help and assistance. So, yeah, it took a little time to recover from that, but definitely having a near-death experience changes your perspective on life.
So this is the first time I've ever asked this question to any CEO. Having died already and come back to life, what has that taught you specifically in your approach towards being a CEO?
Yeah, look, I think when you've had an experience like that, first of all, you just take life with a different outlook, as the easiest way to say it. You know, it takes a lot to stress me out. And that's generally been my nature most of my life. Things happen, I take them, I stay calm, we work through it. But when you have something like that happen, it kind of puts everything in perspective. Like, well, it could be worse. I could be dead. So, you know, you just, I think I have a pretty even keel with my team. We have challenges. We face them. I don't get super upset about them. I don't yell at people unless things get really bad. I just have a more even keel style. And just putting everything in perspective. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, thought I wouldn't go back to work. I think they thought you'd have this near-death experience and say, oh, I'm just going to stay home with my children and I'm going to, you know. But that actually didn't really ever cross my mind. I love to work. It's a huge part of who I am is my professional life. I love my kids, too, and I adore them. And I just try to spend as much time doing all the things I love. But it never really occurred to me to take that step back. It was more like I have the opportunity to continue to be here and contribute. And I will say that maybe, you know, it's hard to disseminate. That happened in 17. I joined Sodexo in 19. Over the last sort of 3 years, I've become much more vocal about women and energy and promoting that cause. And so maybe that's my way of feeling like I'm giving back is continuing to promote that cause and to be out there.
And on that note, Stephanie, I'd like to say thank you. What a pleasure it is having you as a guest on the CEO show.
It was great to be here, Robert. Thanks so much for having me.
And women, remember this. Number one, throw your hat in the ring. And number two, get P&L responsibilities. Once we do that, we are going to have more women CEOs, and this is not just a social issue, this is an economic issue because we need the best talent at the top. Great having you on the CEO show, Steph.
Listens to radio at night. EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.